When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The Fan Metro! And the Rangers have one more hell to climb, baby! But it's Murph Vancouver! The Rangers are headed to the final!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And tonight's Casamigos Big Shot of the Night goes to Luis King of the Heel. Luis Heel, this guy right now, I don't know where to start with him. He's 6-1 with a 2.11 ERA. And all the conversation leading up to this start was, oh, it's Luis Heel versus Luis Castillo. And it was a must-win game last night before you get to Luis Heel versus Luis Castillo, who Yankee fans all wanted in 2022. Well, yeah, no problem. He goes out there, out-duels Luis Castillo. He goes 6 1/3, gives up one hit. He gives up one hit. Has 8 Ks, and it's starting to become a thing. This guy's starting to look like an ace. You're starting to expect him to start. He's coming off a performance where he struck out 14 and reset the rookie record for the Yankees. Luis Heel, King of the Heel. Casamigos Big Shot of the Night. 43,000 people pulling up on a Thursday at 1 o'clock to see your New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. If you'd like to join the show, it's wide open for the next 50 minutes until I'm out of here. Whatever you guys want to talk about, open mic time. We started talking about Daniel Jones, and I talked about how my timeline for Daniel Jones, I'm like, they got to draft a quarterback. He's not going to be ready to play. Well, he's working out, he's throwing, and they interviewed him, and he said he expects to be ready for week 1. And, man, this is a big year for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has to shut a lot of people up. He's got to prove it once again. This is a guy that has been thrown every kind of challenge, and now he's got the challenge of coming back from an ACL injury and leading the Giants to victory, and it's not going to be easy. If you guys still care to talk about what Aaron Rodgers had to say with the Jets, obviously the biggest thing that came out of that was Aaron Rodgers saying, yeah, if I don't perform, we're all gone. We're all out of here. But he likes that kind of pressure. Sauce Gardner talking about, we have the roster to win a championship. This is a championship caliber team. Yeah, put up or shut up, though. Like, for me, after we went through what we went through last year with all the Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friends. Some Jets fans started singing it, not knowing what it was. And they will keep on singing it forever just because. So last year we did the Aaron Rodgers every single day. And then for him to only play 4 plays, I'm like, bruh, we had Hard Knocks. And all it was just clips of Aaron Rodgers throwing a spiral in slow motion. Like, miss me with all that. I don't care to see that now. I want to see him play 11 on 11, fully padded NFL football. And we got a ways until we get to that. We got a lot of baseball. The Yankees have been entertaining us all. The Mets got to be a lot better. Evan Roberts thinks shaving his beard is going to do something with that. It's not. But good for Evan to get that beard off his face. And, yeah, whatever you guys want to talk about, Hal Steinbrenner, Garrett Cole's return, DJ, if you guys want to talk about the Rangers' chances, you guys are scared now because you dropped that game. Some of you guys want to see Matt Rempe or Jonathan Quick. I just think that the Rangers have enough good players that if they just play and show up, they can even the series and they'll be fine. The Knicks are in the offseason, womp, womp, womp. But as you're looking at the Pacers get absolutely smacked by the Celtics, man, the Celtics were the best team. The Celtics, this is their year. This is their year to get to the finals and potentially win it. It is what it is. And the Knicks got to make moves if they think they're competing with them. 888-808-1019 if you'd like to join the show. Let's get back to the phones and see what we got here. Oh, it's Chris from Lynchburg, Virginia. Let me guess. Lucky the Leprechaun.
Yes, sir. What a response, because
I agree. They like we talked on Tuesday night on the old phone number. Yeah, they got lucky. So I'm glad they came out with a little bit of a sense of urgency. I'm glad. I understand everyone's killing Jason Tatum because he has been great, but I'm glad Jaylen Brown dropped 40 points. Like that's really good. And we'll see what happens there. But I'll tell you what. From tonight, I can understand why Knicks fans were really annoyed with this Indiana team because they were acting like a bunch of cockroaches because like Boston would get up like 10, 20 points and they would just keep coming. I'm like, get out of here! Like, come on now! Like, what's going on here?
That's their, like, you know, they're scrappy. That's their thing. And they can keep sending a bunch of different guys at you, send fresh bodies at you. They unloaded so many guys today, I guess, because it was a blowout. I'm looking at the box score. They played everybody today except James Johnson. James Johnson is strictly a bodyguard. He's just there. He doesn't even kind of sniff the court. He's just there in case a fight breaks out.
Yeah, no. And like I said, I understand. I think I saw somewhere Halliburton got hurt towards the end of the game. And I'm just like, not that I want him to get hurt, but I'm just like, oh, crap, because here comes all the naysayers saying about how this is the easiest path ever. And I'm just like in the mindset, like, stuff happens, and like, if the Knicks were in the same predicament as the Celtics would, like, Knicks fans shouldn't feel sorry that, like, their path was easy. Like, things happen. You just got to jump on it. But so far through two games, I can relate to Knicks fans why this Indiana Pacers team is a pain in the butt, honestly. But I'm liking where this team's going, and we'll see what happens. And especially with how the Mets have been poor, and then like I said, the Jets, we'll see what happens. I'm glad I have my Celtics at least keep me entertained so far through this transition of seasons.
Before you go, how did you become a Celtics fan while you're a Mets fan, Jets fan? You just didn't like the Knicks? I understand that.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, growing up on Long Island, just said like the early 2000s, I don't know, for whatever reason, the New Jersey Nets just weren't appealing to me, and like so the Knicks were just bad. And I guess I always enjoyed playing those video games where like Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce were playing, so I just really got attracted to them. And then once they formed the Big Three, it was so much fun to watch them play and do really well. So that's how I became a fan. And even through that one, like, even after the years they traded KG and Pierce to Brooklyn, I stuck with them, and obviously I'm glad with what the product has been so far. But like I said, hopefully it comes out on top with title 18 this year, but still got a long ways to go. But I'm glad they're up 2-0 on Indiana, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's see. Thanks for the call, Chris. Boston Celtics, I don't love them, but somebody out there does. I guess there's some people in New York that love them. You know, he just explained that to you. I don't know. Obviously, as a Nets fan, there's history with the Celtics. I don't wish them well at all. Obviously, you're watching them do what they're doing, and they're doing that because of the picks that they got, largely in part of some of the picks that they got from the Brooklyn Nets. I think this is their year to win the finals. I'm hoping they don't, but they're up 2-0 in this series. It looks like they're two wins away from going to the finals. Tyrese Halliburton limping off. He only had 10 points, and it's only so long fake thugs can pretend. Tyrese Halliburton is not like that. 888-808-1019. James in North Arlington on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, thanks for calling on me. Long time no talk. I mean, since the double season is long over, but tonight has been, I've been listening all night, and I'll tell you, it's great listening to all these topics, and I guess it goes down to coming out a winning culture. And, just to divert a tiny bit, but it's interesting on the Fan how there's so many, you know, fantastic hosts. But even when we listen to the Fan all day, you still have to assess it with his commercial. And I just heard Craig Carton do his commercial. And I think I'm going to take that because, in other words, when you have famous people that are on the radio over the years, they're really not forgotten, just like when they bring back people like Joe Beningo and other people to do shows now and then, because it's a winning culture and the Fan has done the right thing. So now, you know, it's not talking about the Devils, but they did win three cups, but we don't really talk about it. But the Rangers, we keep hearing that commercial, and that was from 1994. Now, I mean, listen, it's great that they advertise because there's nothing wrong with the station making money, but we still need to have a winning culture. And you would think the Rangers have won five cups since 1994, the way they keep playing that 94 win over the Devils. I knew you liked that. And listen, we all know that I cover the Devils, and I support the Devils. And it's, you know, it's very, you know, again, they're a New Jersey team, sort of forgotten, and I think it's great that you've taken the Devils, but you support all the teams. But the thing is that you would think the Rangers have won five cups since '94. Now it's again, we got Quick on the team, and I've been wanting to call now for a few weeks because I think we forgot that Quick beat both the Devils and the Rangers in the finals. But yet, you would think that, and I know he's old, 38 is old for sports, but maybe it's time that they do take the gamble and play him because, again, he knows how to win. I'm sure the Rangers had a great season. I know we hear all day long how they won the President's Cup, but we also should not forget about last season and what happened against the Devils and their goalie, maybe right now is getting a little tight. Maybe I'm bringing up like a lot of crazy topics, but again, I think winning.
No, you're on. You keep going.
Okay, well, I'm happy you give me a little time. And just to go to another thing, I know I called you up 2 weeks ago. Like they had that great event with Tyson against Paul. Now, you might be able to laugh about this upcoming fight, but they went over there to Harlem. They went and they had this press conference. That's going to be, it's going to be on Netflix. 300 million people subscribe to Netflix. Again, Mike Tyson, a proven entity. I mean, you talk about like a guy who has a following, and I'm sure, he hasn't fought now since who knows when. I mean, but when he first came up, there was no one like Mike Tyson back in the 80s and 90s, but he sort of went away, but yet he can still really draw a crowd. And again, I think this is all part of like the magic of winning. Now, I mean, I know this show is going to be a great theatrical event, but again, I go back to the Rangers again. They haven't won since '94. The Devils have won three cups. They've been in for five, but yet we hear this commercial, which I don't quite really. Well, I really like to advertise, and Dolan is a great promoter. To his credit, there's one thing about Dolan that I will say. Again, talk about being underrated, but he has a great staff, and he certainly also has a lot of cash, and he knows how to really promote his team. But they haven't won since '94. Again, we look at the Yankees; they haven't won since 2009. But we don't hear commercials of the Yankees talking about when they closed out the series against the Mets. So again, I think the culture of winning is a lot more important than the advertising of having won back in 1994. So, I mean, I don't know what to say other than that.
Good call, James. Reminding these Rangers fans and whoever programs these spots at the Fan that the Rangers haven't won it in 30 years, and this isn't 1994. And just because you made a bunch of appearances, just because you were close, doesn't mean you have a winning culture. You either win or you don't. And we did hear some Yankee drops. I know we had the John Sterling, it's a first ball fastball, Derek Jeter, hitting that home run in the Subway Series in 2000. We also were running the one where Derek Jeter's talking about, there's a few things that'll never change, pride, tradition. What other ones did we have? I don't know. I don't know who programs those. I know that right now it is still somewhat, quote unquote, early in the baseball season as we approach Memorial Day weekend. It is late in the hockey season, and there's a ton of hype around the Rangers, so you're hearing about, Vancouver. But yeah, reminder that the Rangers have not won since 1994, and they're down one in the series, and we'll see what happens here. 888-808-1019. The thing about the Devils is they're in New Jersey, and this is the Fan in New York, and not for nothing, I've got a ton of New Jersey pride. I'm born and raised in Jersey. I live in Jersey now. I'm a Nets fan because they were in New Jersey. When I put my fandom up for grabs in the NHL, and I said, hey, Rangers, invite me to a game. Islanders, invite me to the game. You know who invited me to the game and treated me like a king? My New Jersey Devils. And yeah, they did win a lot. But since this is the Fan in New York, you'll hear some hosts act like they don't count. They don't exist. I remember going out of my way to take a picture of the wall out here where you can see Marty Brodeur is featured as you enter WFAN. And I'm like, so how does it not count? Because New Jersey is not New York. Always being little brother, treated like second-class citizens. But New Jerseyans make up a ton of this workforce, like myself. New Jerseyans are coming through the bridges and tunnels all day and all night. And there's a ton of New Jerseyans listening that want to hear conversation about the New Jersey Devils, the only professional team that we have. You know, Sheldon Keith, I keep calling him Sheldon Keith. You know, I laugh because it's K-E-E-F-E. One of my boys used to call me Keith, K-E-E-F. I like the name. I hope the coach is good. I'm excited for the new hire because I just think he brings young energy. I think that it's needed. I think it was time. Lindy did what he could, but fans had grown tired of him, and I think the same thing happened with some of the players. So it's exciting. Sheldon Keith will be introduced over at The Rock on Tuesday. I thought about trying to go. I have a doctor's appointment at 12:30, though. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go over there at 11. But stay tuned on that. Most of the Devils fans that I spoke with say they like the hire. Most of the Devils fans that I spoke to say that this is good. Let's see. A couple of things that I put in my notes from Tom Fitzgerald over at Prudential Center with the Devils, talking about new coach Sheldon Keefe. He said Sheldon is excellent. He's an excellent communicator, believes in collaboration, and will take what he has learned previously to make this team a Stanley Cup contender. Now, I was speaking last night about I don't care about Toronto. I don't care about the failures of the Toronto Maple Leafs. What they have going on up there and Canada and their history, whatever, is their history. It's funny, though. I don't know if you ever see me wear these headbands. I know the people watching on TikTok right now are looking at this Bronx Bombers headband I wear. I had like a little deal with Junk Brands, and they sent me a couple Devils headbands. I requested like three different Devils headbands, and they accidentally sent me a Toronto Maple Leafs one. I still have it. And I'm like, why would they send this Maple Leafs? Like, it was an accident. I got to give it to someone. But maybe it was foreshadowing that the Devils would get this Toronto Maple Leafs coach. So he's got three straight 100-point seasons, second fastest coach in NHL history to 200 wins. He led Toronto to five consecutive postseason appearances, 2018 Calder Cup champ. He's the new guy, and I'm interested to hear him talk. I'm interested to see what type of energy, what type of vibe he brings to the New Jersey Devils because, man, last year was great. And, yeah, as James just reminded you, the Devils did beat the Rangers and did knock them off. And as I've reminded you a bunch of times, last year was my first real season locking in on the Devils from start to finish and going to games. And I had a baby, so I was not on the fan. And as much as you guys have seen me play the part as, you know, New York radio host and not put my Devils fandom in front of the Rangers nights that we've had, you would have probably hated me last year because I was waking the baby up last year watching Jack Hughes bang score early goals against the Rangers. I was loving it that Morash whipped out a broom to sweep his bar somewhere out in Long Island, thinking that the Rangers were just going to sweep the Devils, and then they came back to make a fool of him and the whole Rangers franchise. I enjoyed the Devils rising up, raising hell, and winning that series so much last year. It got me even more into hockey because all people said was, hey, the Stanley Cup playoffs, that's the best hockey you're going to see, and that series last year was amazing. And you know, I'm up in the middle of the night, I'm making bottles, I'm changing diapers, and sometimes I can't go back to sleep once the baby goes back to sleep, or I'm not going to go to sleep because the baby will be back up in 90 minutes, and I'm listening to the fan, and I'm like, man, all of these hosts on the fan are talking about what the Rangers didn't do, and how the Rangers folded, and how the Rangers blew it, and what the Rangers, and Gerard Gallant gets fired, and all that stuff. I'm like, can we get a perspective from the New Jersey Devils? Can we get a Devils fan on the fan to talk about it? Devils fans, honestly, you know it. When the Devils get back to prominence, when the Devils are back to winning, I don't know who the goalie's going to be. I don't know exactly how the team's going to shake out, but I trust that the Devils are making moves, and Dougie Hamilton will be back, and Jesper Bratt, and obviously the Hughes brothers, and there's talented players over there in Newark. Next year, this time next year, if the Devils are in it, I got you. I will carry the banner, and you will have a voice on the fan, but they're eliminated. So I've been letting these Rangers fans get it in on the fan. Let's continue with that. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is on the fan every day.
Keith, how's it going, man? Hey, real quick, this new number thing, man, it's like something out of the Twilight Zone. What the hell is this?
They're asking about it on TikTok. I saw you asked about it on Twitter. I saw breaking news.
I was trying to get on. Like the second I hit call, I was already getting a busy signal. I don't know if
we're starting clean slate. Yeah. All of you 877-337-6666 callers. Maybe this new system, new number has wiped all of the records, and I don't know.
I don't know. Well, yeah, we might be back to, you know, stage one. I was hearing that Evan and Tigre talking about you looking like Beningo on Saturdays now, having to adjust however long they've had this number. Has this been the number from the start? I'm not sure since 86, 87. But
I actually did speak to Ryan about that. This number, for us to get 101.9 in a number, that's hard to do. That's rare. And so this is something that was in the works. This isn't something that existed prior.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, it's working for now, so we got to adjust to it. You know, like you were saying, even when Spike was on his way out, things evolve, you know, one at a time, and, you know, it takes getting used to. I mean, something minuscule, it's a 10-digit number at the end of the day, but, you know, 3 years been calling the station, and it's kind of weird seeing the old numbers, like you put the dove emoji, the heartbreak emoji, seeing it in the recent calls.
Ross, you're 16, buddy. There are guys that have been listening to the station longer than I've been alive. I believe the station is about to turn 38 in July.
Yeah, I think like 10 of them called about Matt Rempe in, you know, different ways tonight. But anyway, before I get to that real quick, first time I've been called you since you were in the booth, so I got a chance to listen to you. You did a great job. I actually wanted to ask you a quick question. I thought I'll get to my Ranger point. You know, I was hearing you every night kind of give honest opinions on the Yankees and going on to call games. I was wondering, did you kind of have a struggle calling guys? Like, I know, like, not to single someone out, but a guy like Weber, you know, you don't shy away from, you know, calling out. Did you kind of have to, like, look at his, you know, calling his at-bats differently? The guy like Stanton or Judge, where there's not really much to complain about a lot recently, or did you just have a no problem calling it neutral? Or not neutral, because it's obviously a Yankee feed, but you know what I'm talking about?
I tried to have a different approach than my approach to these five-hour shows. It wasn't KM to AM. I was stepping in to do Susan Waldman's job. I would say that, like, there was no chance to really be critical. And, you know, people were tweeting me, like, talk more. And I'm like, you guys don't understand. Like, it's not my place to be the one talking the whole time. Shackle is calling the game, and I got to stay out of the way of the pitch, and I don't need to interject that much about every single thing and fill the, you know, broadcast with my voice. I don't think I had to adjust my criticism. There was really nothing to criticize. I mean, all I wanted to do was win, because I felt like if we lost, people would blame me. And they were magical games, man. They were great, two great games to call. It was all fun. My predictions hit. There were home runs, great pitching performance from Nestor and from Luis Gil. I think the one thing I had to adjust that just came to my mind, like Laz Diaz, and I forget who the other home plate ump was. I was really paying attention to their strike zones and really paying attention to, like, the players' reaction. And as a fan, I'm always against the umps. And I think there was a moment where I was like, man, Laz Diaz, I'm like, that was a ball inside or something like that. Like, I think maybe Oswaldo got rung up and I said something. And I think Shackle was like, hey, guys, save it for the bleachers. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You're right. Like, this is, we're calling the game. We're supposed to not be neutral. Obviously, I'm put as the color guy on the game because I'm a Yankee fan. But you are supposed to hold some of your
at the same time like you do during a show. Because I always wondered, you know, like, seeing, like, you know, watching the Ranger games, always thinking, like, Sam and Joe, like, there's got to be certain guys like a Capo Caco, they can't stand this guy, but they can't call him that. Like, they're
you just brought up Sam Rosen, and I did have in my notes that, you know, he obviously had a scare. He had a health scare, and I mean, that's not great for this.
I heard
run.
He's all good, though.
He's good. He's going to be what he missed game one, though, right?
He had to call it. I don't know. I don't want to disclose anything that I heard just to be safe, but I heard that, you know, they just called it off because it happened so close to the game. But as far as, like, long-term health or everything, he's fine. I think he's back at his house. It's nothing
You know, prayers up to him and his family. I'm glad that he's all right. But, like, to not have the voice of your hockey team during the Eastern Conference Finals, that's just not, like, it's just another thing that you add to the list. Like, not great.
Yeah. No doubt about it, but yeah, good to hear. I heard that he's doing great now, so, you know, that's awesome to hear. He's a legend. But anyway, speaking of the team that he calls, listen, I'll just say this, and I tried calling you last night. Probably would have been a lot more loud and reactionary, but, you know, a little less than 24 hours later gives me a chance to cool down. But I'll say this, all right? I see people saying, you know, the fact you look at a team like Florida, and even Florida not playing the best of their games either. We're talking about a Ranger team that had, I think there was a 17, 18-minute stretch. They didn't have a single shot on goal. Not a dump in, nothing. That was kind of what Carolina was doing. They had the 30, 35 shots a night because they were just, you know, reactionary dump-ins into the zone and were hoping to, you know, get a deflection in front of the net. It was nothing. You know, I pointed to, I think first period was Panarin had a rush opportunity and just stopped short at the blue line. That's kind of been the problem with him in the playoffs in years past and this year, too. I don't think people talk about him enough. He's just afraid to shoot at the net for whatever reason, unless it's OT or, you know, late in the third. He just doesn't shoot the puck. And, you know, overall, you look at, you know, people talk about Coley and Schneider are your two breakaway chances, and, you know, they didn't pot either. And people point out Igor, too. You know, the thing is, obviously he had to play with Lafreniere and, you know, the Shaq and the full type play. It was just Laf couldn't stop himself. And Igor with the brain-dead pass. And even the first goal was kind of a softie. But you look at it, the fact that, and I know they weren't firing pucks at the net either, Florida wasn't. But it kind of reminded me of game 7 and I think 5 of the games. Games 5 and 7 against you guys last year, where essentially we had nothing going offensively and Igor could only hold on for so long. So listen, you know, the guy, me being a guy like December, January, who was being as harsh as could be towards Igor, and looking back kind of probably really unfairly, seeing how he stepped up in these playoffs so far, I don't get the reason to throw Jonathan Quick into the net all of a sudden. You know, it's not like we're losing games because of him. Like, you know, you want to see like Freddie Anderson with Carolina, and that's where they threw Kachekov in. And if you look at Carolina, too, and everything was, they solely lost that series because of Freddie Anderson in that. All right, you look at their games, all six games, one team had at least three goals in every game and one team didn't. And, you know, you look at Carolina was the team that had three goals in every game. Offense wasn't their issue. It was their fluky goalies. And we were just getting, I don't want to say lucky bounces, but, you know, you look at a guy like Kreider kind of throwing pucks at the net, even the Panarin OT winner, and you're kind of getting lucky bounces. So essentially, you know, the fact you got like, I think it was like 18 total shots in the night, maybe a little more. And the fact that people are saying Matt Rempe is the missing piece when he plays 5 minutes a night, and people are saying because we're not going to get pucks in the corner when Matt Rempe, like I said, 5 minutes a night. And if he is going to get pucks in the corner, whether it's his fault or not, they got the refs got a magnifying glass on the guy, and any contact he makes, he's going to get two in the box for. You know, and that.
Sorry, Ross. We're up against it. I'm running out of time. But Ross can run it up. He's a real Rangers fan. And I know there's a lot of Ranger fans helicoptering in, parachuting in with things like play Jonathan Quick, play Matt Rempe. The Rangers have a ton of healthy stars. They just got to play like it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wherever you are, I appreciate you so much for tuning in to my show tonight, KM to AM. Another one in the books, a sprint, not a marathon, on 101.9 FM. The new number to dial is 888-808-1019. If you call now, you'll most likely be on with C-Mac. He's coming up next. I don't know if C-Mac is making the trek down to DJ's. I know C-Mac was there the last couple years being a part of Carton and Roberts. Shout out to Craig Carton, who I posted today, because I went back and found the video of Craig in the COVID year. I think it was 2020 or 2021. I know it had to be 2021. And he was talking about if there was one place that he would have a summer party, radio party, DJs. And that resonated with me, because I was DJ's VIP card holder 2011, 2013, 2012. Actually, 2011, 2012, 2013, I hung my jersey up in the rafters. I remember the 2013 summer, I wanted to get out of the Jersey Shore so bad. I thought I was old already. I thought in 2013, I had been out of school for 2 years. It had been two summers of going to the same bars, Bar A, Headliner, DJs. I just wanted out. I wanted out. Avenue, Pier Village, Asbury Park, going all this different. I wanted out because I felt like I was just drinking my life away, partying, doing the same. You know, when you're young and you're out of college and you haven't figured it out yet, it just gets monotonous, man. And then 2014, I end up in the Fan Cave. And fast forward all these years now, 2024, it'll be the third year in a row that WFAN and Odyssey is doing the kickoff to summer. So after me will be Big Mac, and then you'll get, I don't know if they're doing the warm-up show down there. I think they're going to start with Boomer and Geo, but obviously Al Dukes is a resident in Bradley Beach right next to Belmar. So, yeah, once we turn the clock to 12 and turn the calendar to the next day, Big Mac will do his thing, and then we'll be coming live from DJ's in Belmar. I'll see you guys down there. I don't know exactly what time I'm getting there. It all depends on when my son gets up from his nap and when I can drive down and get settled. But, man, I look forward to it because all of this is a wild reality for me. You know, calling the Yankee games is a wild reality, a dream come true. But I spent plenty of nights partying at DJs, getting drunk at DJs, talking to girls at DJs, with kids from Monmouth University at DJs, and not imagining that in 11, 12 years, whatever it is, that I'd be working for WFAN. And I'm not even doing a show. I do the nighttime show. So I'm just coming to pull up for like an hour, get some drinks, meet some people in the flesh, and just celebrate Memorial Day weekend, which if you're from the shore, you understand Memorial Day weekend is the official, unofficial start to the summer. All the Bennies are down there. The traffic starts to pick up. All the shore bars are popping, and another summer's upon us. Hopefully the weather is good, and I'll see you guys out there. Pack the place, man. Show up early. Hang out all day. If you don't know what to wear, wear your favorite team jersey. It's half club, half like tailgate, and also obviously live music, DJ, and then you get live radio. Evan's going to shave his beard. Tommy's going to dress up like the Stanley Cup. I don't know what other shenanigans are going on. I'm not billed to do anything. They didn't even advertise me being there in it because I'm not doing my show, but I'm from the soil. I'm from the sand. Monmouth County, born and raised, born in Monmouth Medical Center, graduated from Monmouth University, and DJ's is in Belmar in Monmouth County, so I'll see you guys there soon. Let's get back to the phones and wrap up this show. Young Josh in Brooklyn, you got it, boss. Go for it.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, man. Wrapping up another five-hour show. What you got?
Yeah, I know you got to go, since I'll be nice quick. First of all, just like your call before, I get on the fan, and I'm calling up your 877-377-66 and two more sixes, you know? And then I hear this random 88 number, so, you know, calling them. Now I'm so confused while they're not getting on.
It's an adjustment. It's going to take probably the whole summer until we all the hosts can say this number and the callers know how to dial it.
You got to make it seem like an 877 number. Just like, nope, wrong number. Yeah, so
when you called that number, Josh, what sound did it make, or did it go to a dial tone, a busy tone, what?
No, I just went straight to the hang up, like beep, 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 beep. Just straight to the hang up.
Wow, end of an era. I'm kinda sad. At least I got the WFAN
before
that. I was
thinking, like, wow, Keith's packed tonight or whatever.
Yeah, look, he's got the phone lines ringing. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So first of all, about the Rangers, I tried to call last night, but I was getting like 12 something, so I just like went to sleep. But I was really not expecting that 3-0 loss of the Panthers. I mean, it was 1-0 at most of the game. And even though, yeah, I know that the majority of the game, the Rangers were on the defensive side, but I really feel like with all those power plays or whatever, I really felt like they were able to get back on there. But after when Lafreniere, you know, tipped that in, I knew it was over. So hopefully it can flip around the rest of the series.
It's adversity. It's the Eastern Conference Finals. They're the underdogs. They lost the first game. They got to respond. Can't go down 2-0. We obviously know you can come back from 2-0, but you can't go down 2-0.
Yeah. And also about the Yankees, remember last night you were talking about how, like, Steve was like, oh, the Mariners won 2 nights in a row. Like, you know, be quiet. You know who you're playing, Mariners. Don't get comfortable. You're playing the 35-17 first in the AL East New York Yankees. And now, two amazing games in a row, 5-0 bash. You know, still playing amazing. Aaron Judge turning back to the monster that he is. It's all great.
Tell them, Josh, this is an elite team. And, yeah, they're going to lose some games. They're going to lose a lot more games than 162, but they showed you who they were.
I mean, yeah, the Knicks got out. That was a real bummer. But, you know, New York's still on fire. We're still in there.
Yeah, because we got the Yankees. We got the Rangers. Maybe the Mets will turn it around. And before you know it, they're going to kick that football in the air. And we hope that the Jets and Giants are good teams, too.
Yeah, and also I agree with you. Juan Soto, he's hanging those pinstripes. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it just makes too much sense. He looks like he was born to be a Yankee, and he's having a great time.
Yeah, and I went to the game. I sat right field by him. We love him. The fans love him. He loves the fans. He's not going anywhere.
Okay, good. You saw it with your own eyes. Juan Soto coming out there, and yeah.
All right. Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call. Josh had to get Josh up out of there before 12. You guys got to go to bed. I can't wait to go to bed. I just was checking my – I used to keep melatonin in my locker here. I stopped doing that because sometimes the traffic is unpredictable. It could be an hour, a 90-minute, two-hour drive home. You only be dozing off. But I'm like, man, I got to go to sleep. Like, tomorrow's a big day. I got to drive down, and it's Memorial Day weekend and kick off the summer and all that. But I appreciate you young boys, man. You young boys rocking with me. Josh said the number how I say it. Man, end of an era. 87-7, 33-7, a 6-6, and two more sixes. Just when I had my own way to say the famous phone number, we switched it up. Let's go to Frank. Palisades Park is on the fan.
Hey, Keith. Just wanted to make a quick mention of the rotation. I know you're not going to like hearing this, but it has to be Luis Gil. That has to be moved to the bullpen. He's only pitched maybe 50 innings the last couple of years, and right now, I think he's quickly approaching 50. So in order to preserve his arm for the rest of the year, he has to be the one that has to be shifted to the bullpen.
Yeah, he's the most likely one because he's young, because they're trying to protect him. And it's not that I don't want to hear it. It's just I like watching this kid as a starter, and I'm hoping that it doesn't hurt him or change him. But yeah, I for weeks have been talking about a world where Luis Gil is coming out of the bullpen in the eighth inning. He's a strike him out guy. Like, he's coming out throwing 98, striking guys out. I could definitely see him being a reliever, but I mean, he's already looking like an ace.
You know, no, the Yankees' long term plans for him will be as a starter, but for him to preserve his arm.
Yeah, for this year, with Cole coming back, it makes the most sense to put that young man in the bullpen and give his arm a little bit of rest and hope that he can make a seamless transition. I hear you.
Yeah, so that's exactly what they should be doing. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Frank. I know. I've been on it for a couple of weeks. I saw Evan Roberts on that too, right? That obviously you want the Yankees to make moves at the deadline, but a move that they can make before the deadline, as we're looking at guys coming out of the bullpen like Clayton Andrews and Dennis Santana, Luis Gil. We came into the season knowing that he's coming off of Tommy John surgery and he hasn't pitched that many innings and they got to protect him. I know I heard them say or I read somewhere that they're not going to do it unless he's breaking down, but whatever. Cole is coming back. He's a young guy, and he's kind of filling Cole's spot right now, we think, and I hope he's got the mental headspace for it. I was kind of worried about him disappearing after Tommy John because I thought he was going to turn into Davey Garcia. Remember that name? You guys forgot about Davey Garcia. Alex is in Bethel, Connecticut. Alex, you're on the fan.
Keith McPherson. That was awesome.
How crazy was that, dude? How crazy was that?
I wasn't in 203 on Friday night, and I almost broke the rules, but I wanted to get in on that so bad, man.
Yeah, man. I've gone back to play it. Like, I went, what I did when I heard it, that's another thing. When I heard it, I went to my phone, I went to the Fubo app, I recorded the game, then I went home after. Like a couple days after, I think Monday, I screen recorded it, and I'm like, man, you could hear it in the YES Network broadcast clear. That's love, man. That's time spent in 203. That's Christmas parties and birthday parties and backyard barbecues and Nets games and other things outside of Yankee Stadium with the creatures. And like Tina said, she's like, you're one of us. You're one of our own. What do you expect? We get a creature in the booth. You think we're not going to do roll call? I'm like, nobody told me, though. I didn't see that in any group chat. I didn't see that in any text. It was a complete surprise. Loved it.
That was awesome, man. I was like, how are they going to know that he acknowledged them, though?
Yeah, actually, Mark is still like, hey, can we get the radio audio of your response? And I'm like, I don't know. I'd have to request it. Maybe I can talk to Dove to get it. But I was speechless. All I was saying was, oh, wow. Oh, wow. And I honestly just sank in myself. I'm like, I can't believe I'm sitting in the booth in Susan's chair looking out on Yankee Stadium and the bleacher creatures are chanting my name. I'm not a ball player. I'm not even a broadcaster. I'm blessed.
Yeah, one of the guys I was with was like, wait, who are they doing? I was like, it's in the booth.
Yeah, that's great too. Like, one of my boys is a White Sox fan and he texts me And we were in the fan cave together. He represented the White Sox. I represent the Yankees. And he's like, no way. He's like, bro, what have you gotten into over the years? These people are chanting your name in the roll call. I'm like, bro, it's all love.
Yeah, man. It's been a pretty solid week for the Yanks, man. They even like, you know, seeing how Stroman left the field that first game against the Mariners, he was all pumped up. Like, the energy is just amazing right now. Like, and then we're going into this, you know, month of June where the schedule gets a little bit harder. But, you know, steel sharpens steel. You know, we'll put the haters to rest. And Judge and G, Soto, Rizzo, Dougie, they're all going. So it's been a good season so far. We're excited for it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call, Alex. These guys are a family. These guys are dogs. They're ready for war. They hear all the skeptics and the naysayers. Oh, Soto's 4-for-31. Soto comes back with two-homer games in 6 days. Oh, Judge is washed. Judge is hurt. Judge goes off with one of the best months of his career. Not done. They will go out to San Diego this weekend. Then they'll travel to Anaheim. And then they'll go to San Francisco. And I think these long road trips are a good opportunity for these guys to bond. Some of them are from out west. It's only going to help this team before they come back home for a gauntlet that they're going to face in June. Last call of the night goes to Mario out in Long Beach.
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
I'm good.
Keith, how you doing, buddy? Good.
Yeah, thanks.
Glad to get in at the end.
Got to you, man, barely.
Yeah, I got a quick question for you, and then I got a comment about the Yankees. If you were a player and you had to go to either one of these two teams, which would you be less likely want to go to, the Mets or the Nets?
If I was a player, a free agent player right now.
And you had to go to one of those, like, and you had a chance to met, which team would you be less likely to go to? The Mets or the Nets, thinking it might not be good for your career because they're not playing well.
The Mets.
You know, the situation, the Mets. Yeah.
The Mets. The Brooklyn Nets right now are wide open for a star player to come to and take over and be the man.
Ah, I made it at the end, so have a good one. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. I hear the music.
That's all, folks.
Okay, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Mario. Again, I appreciate everybody that called and listened. I appreciate those of you out there listening to the whole show or 5 minutes of the show that never call. Straight up. I don't get these opportunities. I don't get a lot of this without people just supporting me and lifting me up and rocking with me and writing on social media and word of mouth and telling a friend, yo, that's my guy. Keith is my favorite host on The Fan. So thank you. I'm off for the next 4 days. I'm going to try and sleep. Going to be a dad, be a husband. I'll see you guys at DJ's tomorrow afternoon. And C-Max coming up next. I'm out of here. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.